Pop Spotting 198.
Wednesday, January 18th, 2012.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I am Ryan.
It's Wildcard Wednesday, and today we're going to do our best to answer your questions about Hawaii.
Yes, we've done shows about local music, local food. We've done a Big Island tour and put the spotlight on our favorite town of Hilo. We do love talking about our island home, and we're certainly glad that many of you have been curious about it.
We've got more Hawaii shows planned, but we did put out the call to find out what you guys were curious about, and those are the things that we're going to cover today.
Now, of course, we're not experts necessarily, and we're probably not very good tour guides, but I was born and raised here, and Jen's been here for a while.
Nearly 20 years.
That's right, 20 years. Holy cow. And so this will just be one couple's take. It'll be Pop Spotting's Hawaii 101 show.
So take our advice with the appropriate serving of salt. But like right. I said, we're happy to share what we know, and we'll always be open to answering any other questions you might have later.
So let's start with the call we got back in November that put us down this path.
This is Daniel from Boston calling. One more Wednesday show idea. I have never been to Hawaii and really don't know much about the structure of the islands. So I know, you know, you talked about Hilo and you talked about the Big Island. It might be helpful just to do a basic review of Hawaii geography, Hawaii history, Hawaiian culture, Hawaiian language. I'm not sure sort of how the show would operate, but maybe sort of a brief Google Maps tour, if you will, of Hawaii itself, because for someone who's not been to Hawaii and really hasn't studied Hawaii, it's wonderful to hear your shows about Hawaii, but I really don't have much of a frame of reference, so I really think that would be very helpful. So that's my today's idea about what would be great for the Wednesday shows. I look forward to hearing from you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Daniel. Thanks for setting the stage there and for, you know, giving us this topic for sure. And here we go. I mean, I'm kind of curious what people who know Hawaii will think of our answers, and I'm a little cringing to imagine people here in the islands listening to the show. But this is for everybody else. An overview of the islands. Let's start with the geography. Let's start with this island we're sitting on right now.
Honolulu is the capital of Hawaii. It's on the island of Oahu, mm-hmm. which is one of eight islands in the state. The other islands are Hawaii, Maui, Molokai, Lanai, Kauai, Niihau, and Kaho'olawe. Niihau is privately owned by an old island family, and it's fiercely protected.
Right.
Kaho'olawe is uninhabited, but it was used for military target practice, and it's only now recovering.
Yeah, my good friend Bert was involved with a group called the Kaho'olawe Island Commission, and they're still trying to rehabilitate it. They're trying to bring it back after, you know, basically being bombed out of existence by the military. But you're not going to get to visit that island. So the islands you're most likely going to visit are Oahu, this island, Maui, Kauai, and the Big Island. I guess maybe Lanai, too. But Oahu is the one you see and hear the most about. It's home to about a million folks. It's where Waikiki is, and you've got downtown and skyscrapers, but also still, I think, a lot of the natural beauty and most of the things that people associate with Hawaii are here on Oahu. And if you're watching Hawaii Five-O on CBS, or if you watched the old Hawaii Five-O, if you watched Lost, that is all Oahu.
The Big Island is where the volcano is, where Kilauea volcano is. And
right.
It's the other big thing about Hawaii that people think of. And so if you think you're going to visit and see a volcano, you can't book a hotel in Waikiki and drive there because it's an entirely
right.
different island. The Big Island is our favorite island, obviously, because we've done a whole show about the Big Island and also about Hilo.
Right. So you can go back to those if you want to know about the Big Island. Maui is probably the second most visited destination, maybe climbing, you know, close to first versus Honolulu. But unfortunately, Maui is the island that we both know the least. It's got Haleakala volcano. It's dormant, but it's a major landmark there. That's where a lot of major observatories are. It's beautiful, famous summit. There's lots of valleys, and I would say that a lot of people now pick Maui over Oahu, saying that, oh, Oahu is just too crowded and touristy, and I think comparatively that's true, but at least in my humble opinion, Maui is probably very quickly becoming the next Oahu. I mean, it's more of an upscale Waikiki, for example. There's a lot of great luxury resorts for sure, and there are small towns that are carefully preserved, but I feel like there's more and more of a gap between them, you know, the people who live there versus the people who visit there, like just basically a more recently colonized island here in Hawaii. But I will admit that both Jen and I absolutely need to know more. We need to probably experience the real Maui.
Right. Kauai is an interesting island. It is very small. There's only one main road on the island, and it doesn't even fully encircle the one volcano on the island, Mount Waialeale. Mount Waialeale is one of the wettest spots on Earth.
Right.
Geographically, Kauai is the oldest island, and that's why you get the really dramatic mountain ridges and the waterfalls. There are huge stretches of beach. The people on Kauai are very resistant to development, so you will see no tall buildings, and that's actually a law. There are some fancy resorts and million-dollar homes on the north shore of Kauai, but otherwise, it's very rural, it's very sleepy, but I've never witnessed any of this firsthand because I've never been.
Yeah, and we have to rectify that for sure. We'll take a trip out there. Kauai is beautiful. I mean, geographically, because it's the furthest west or the furthest west main island, there's just so much there to check out. I will admit, and one thing that you might pick up is that the residents of the different islands have friendly rivalries with each other. They make the same kind of judgments that you might make about the people in the next town. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, Springfield versus Shelbyville. And Kauai is perhaps of all the islands, my Shelbyville. But that's a completely different show. So let's get on to Molokai. That is the most Hawaiian island. I mean, if we said Kauai was rural, Molokai is even more rural, even more small, and it doesn't see a lot of tourist traffic. There's frankly not really a lot to do in terms of activities, and it's not easy to get to except by small plane, or there is a ferry that runs from Maui, a little small boat, if you don't get seasick. It is really great to visit if you want to get away from it all, but as far as Molokai is concerned, when you say get away from it all, you absolutely better mean it there.
Lanai used to be just pineapple and sugar cane, but now it is privately owned and it's homed to two high-end resorts, the Four Seasons and the Lodge at Ko'ele. Golf nuts love these places because they're world famous for their courses, but frankly, there's not much else there. If you want to get away from it all, but you like gourmet food and golf and sparkling bathroom fixtures, Lanai is for you.
Yeah, Lanai is getting away from it all, but safely. And just overall, I mean, Daniel mentioned like culture and language. Those are big topics. I mean, I will say that Hawaii is obviously culturally diverse. You're likely to hear several different languages if you visit. And the Hawaiian language is everywhere, if that's not obvious, whether you're joking about it or trying to figure out how to pronounce the street that you're on. But Hawaiian is an official language. It's an official government language. We have schools that teach kids exclusively in Hawaiian, and actually by law here you can write checks and sign legal documents in Hawaiian as well.
And personally, I feel that this diversity is most apparent in the food that locals eat. You can walk down the street and in one block you can encounter a sushi joint, a Korean joint, a plate lunch place, and a regular mainland chain restaurant. And meanwhile, everything is all mixed up and blended together.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite restaurants that not everybody here likes, but I do, it's called Angelo Pietro.
Mm-hmm.
It mixes Italian and Japanese, and you'll find just these combinations all over the place. But, you know, Italian and Japanese, you could go there for spaghetti, but it's got seaweed on it.
Which isn't as bad as it sounds.
Exactly. It's interesting. And it's probably true in New York and other cities as well. The nationality of the cuisine on the sign of the restaurant is very different from the nationality of the people who are working in the kitchen. You know, some of the best Chinese restaurants are run by Filipinos, mm-hmm. and all of that. So you get a lot of that. And of course, because of this intermingling and because, you know, our own palate, our own local palate is different over time, even what we call Chinese is going to be, I would say, maybe a better Chinese than you might get somewhere else, but it's still not the same Chinese that you would get in Shanghai or Hong Kong. I mean, it's not genuine in terms of what you would get in those countries, but it's a specific shift. It's a specific evolution, and it actually required you to kind of explain it to me because I couldn't taste my favorite foods with a different tongue. But basically in Hawaii, certain flavors are very dominant. Obviously, shoyu, fish sauce.
Right.
Foods in general, I would say, are sweeter here than their natural counterpart.
Also garlicky.
Yeah, lots of garlic. But what we might consider spicy might be actually less spicy than the main cuisine, like Thai and Mexican, for
right.
example. But Chinese is sweeter. Korean is sweeter. But obviously, it's great food. It's very recognizable. And I know it when I taste it. I know that that's what I miss when I'm outside of Hawaii. But to be perfectly frank, we've done food shows, and whether it's the Hawaiian language or this mix of cultures, that could be perhaps the Hawaiian 201 show.
Right.
So let's get to another question, this one from a previous voicemail from Axel.
Hey, Ryan and Jen. What's happening? This is Axel, former guest on Pop Spotting. Thanks for the show. Y'all rock. And I love the idea of Hawaii, because I want to know how you get from one island to the other, how long it takes, and how often people actually do it. That's all. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for that call, Axel, and a natural question. We've talked about the different islands. How do you get to visit them all or get between them?
As of right now, air travel is one's only means of island hopping. It's not cheap, and it is as big a pain as air travel anywhere on the mainland. A flight between Lihue on one end of the state and Hilo on the other end of the state is about 90 minutes, and some people fly between the islands every day. Our kid's dentist lives on Maui, but he practices right here in Honolulu, so he flies at least twice a week. We briefly had ferry service between some of the islands, which is another story entirely, but I would absolutely recommend visiting another island if you have time on your trip.
I guess it is a different show, but I mean, we talked about Kauai and how it's my Shelbyville. Well, you know, they fought the super ferry. There was an attempt to do regular ferry service between the islands. I think anybody looking at our island chain to say, why aren't you traveling by boat? But it's just not commercially viable. So we are left with air travel between the islands. And yeah, like Jen says, it's just as big a pain as any other commuter flight. 90 minutes is kind of on the long end. You can take 20-minute flights. I mean, they barely have time to serve you drinks on them. We used to have two big main airlines, Hawaiian Airlines and Aloha Airlines, and a few smaller operators, and there were fare wars and newcomers, and at a certain point it got completely ridiculous. I mean, they had $29 fares, and then $19 fares, and then $1 fares, and of course that was just kind of the death throes of the industry here, unfortunately, and now we're pretty much just down to one airline, and that's Hawaiian Airlines. And again, some of these discount carriers with smaller planes. One of those discount carriers is Go Airlines. It's owned by Mesa Airlines, a mainland company, and they are cheap, but they are pretty much a disaster. I think most locals avoid them. Canceled flights, kind of scary airplanes. They were the ones that were on the national news when the pilots fell asleep and
right,
flew like several miles past the Big Island because they were asleep. So don't take Go. And it's, and fortunately, Hawaiian is a great airline. I mean, they do very well. Locals do like them. They have flights to the West Coast and to Asia as well. So, you know, they're a good company to have survived for sure.
And they have the best on-time percentage in the country.
Oh, right. They love to say that, of course, when your most of your flights are little short flights, I think it's much easier probably to have better on-time performance. But because they are the only airline, that means they can charge what they want, and that's where you're going to get hit. Now, if you plan ahead, you can get round-trip tickets between the islands for, I don't know, maybe 120, 140,
right,
around there. But if you are late, if you don't plan, if you panic, you could spend $300 for that 20-minute flight to another island. These are very short flights, like I said, and it's almost ridiculous now what it costs just to make a little island hop.
Of course, there are very early morning and semi-late evening flights, so what a local person will often do are day trips. They'll head out to Maui or the Big Island before dawn and run all over the island and be back on Oahu after dark. And so if you do that, you avoid having to get a hotel room overnight. It'll save you some money. You have to be one of those laser focused travelers though, and
right,
a day trip will only scratch the surface for any island, especially the Big Island.
Yeah, you can't do that island in a day. And like we said, some people do this for a living. The jobs are here, but their affordable housing is somewhere else, so they will fly in and out quite a bit. But talk about an expensive commute. If you think gas is expensive, flying every day certainly is. Our next question comes from Barry in Wisconsin. He writes, we're hoping to someday visit Hawaii, but if it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, where would you recommend that we go? Should we just visit the main island and do all of the touristy things?
This is a very hard question to answer because it really depends on what you like. All of the islands are so different from each other and offer so many different things. Personally, I would tell you this, spend a few days on each island, but maybe one or two extra days on the Big Island, because the Big Island, in my view, has the most to offer. It's the biggest. It's the only place that
yes,
I can think of where you can snowboard and go to the beach on the same day. The island is just, it's so different in so many different places. You have small town, very local Hilo. You have busy touristy Kona. There are great beaches. There's the volcano. Maui has many outdoor adventure activities, and Haleakala is there, like we said, but I would tell you mostly don't spend too much time in Waikiki, because there's no way you're really going to get to know Hawaii and Waikiki.
Well, okay. Well, I would pick the Big Island, too, if I had to pick one island. It would be great to visit all the islands, but as we just covered, it might be an expensive itinerary to do that. I do feel like I have to defend Oahu a bit, though. I mean, yes, it might be the busiest, the most big city-like island, but, well, number one, it also has the most infrastructure to support visitors, so you can be completely taken care of on Oahu if you want. You can take public transit if you want to. You can probably not get really stranded unless you hike in some really obscure places. So there's a lot here for visitors. And number two, it does have specific things that I think you should see when you visit Hawaii, regardless of the crowds, regardless of the fact that everybody does it. Pearl Harbor in particular would be on a short list for me. And while you can shop and go out at night in Honolulu, I mean, most of the other islands don't have much of a nightlife
That's
to speak
true.
Of. Oahu also has a lot of natural beauty. You might not see it in Waikiki, but I say Oahu has the best of both of those worlds in a way, whether you like the nightlife and big cushy tour buses to take you everywhere you want to go, but if you want to get muddy and dirty and see nature and see beautiful vistas and valleys, you can get that on Oahu as well, so I wouldn't count it out.
Hawaii is impossible to visit just once, I think. I mean, Oahu is like a sampler platter, but a neighbor island is a bigger, more sumptuous meal.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, Oahu is a great place to start, but you will want to get deeper, and that's where a lot of the neighbor islands will come in. But any trip to Hawaii is absolutely worth it. Next question from Frank.
He emails, I've been a longtime listener back from the transmission days, but now have a question outside the pop culture realm. This year we'll be taking a vacation to Oahu with our two daughters, ages 8 and 9. Mm. I was wondering if there were any recommendations that you might have for places to go that are kid-friendly, but still culturally or naturally educational. We have Pearl Harbor, Diamond Head, Honolulu Bay on our list from a previous trip we took without the kids. Any other recommendations, particularly ones that would be off the radar of those of us in the less tropical 49 states?
Great question, Frank. At least up our alley, because, hey, we've got kids.
Right. Our kids are all around that age. We have kids 13, 9, and 7. I would say you should see the Bishop Museum, Iolani Palace, our tiny zoo, and the tiny aquarium that are right next to each other. I hit Bishop Museum and the aquarium with the kids all the time. Every time they're on break, we'll spend one day at either place. There's also the Children's Discovery Center, though that's best for younger kids, like under 7. I would say to walk around Chinatown during the day. It's very colorful. Basically, there are a lot of markets and a lot of really scenic places to go in Chinatown.
During the day, for sure.
During the day, don't go at night. But it's a really good way to peek into the culture in Hawaii.
Well, not to say that it's unsafe. It's even more colorful, maybe not as kid-friendly at night. But Honolulu is one of the safest cities out there. And if you're here on the first Friday of a month, I think first Friday in Chinatown is an unforgettable experience. Again, perhaps a little more adult than for kids, but again, Chinatown's a great place for sure for a family.
Also, there's a Beodoin Temple, which was featured on Lost. There yes. are so many great hikes. I would say bring them hiking on a very easy trail like Aya Loop Trail or the Makapu'u Lighthouse Trail. Just maybe enjoy nature. Do things that you would not normally do at home. There are so many great beaches here. There's Kailua Beach on the windward side, and it's a great family beach. There's Waimanalo Beach, Waimea Bay. Waimea Bay is great because not only is there a huge, wide beach with great surf, across the way you have an autobahn, the Waimea Valley Park.
Yeah, and another Lost location. And you've got Beodoin Temple, like you said. In fact, if you were a listener to the transmission, you probably loved Lost, and you might want to consider a Lost location tour. There are still tours happening. Ed Kaz, who does HummerToursHawaii.com, you know, Matt used to be a driver right. for them. They're still around. There are other operators. So that's kind of a way to combine things you might like. They could take you around the island, and you will see along the way a lot of the major sites, but there will also be an opportunity to look at Lost locations. You know, if you are bringing your kids, that's a higher vote, I think, for organized tours sometimes, just so that you don't have the stress of keeping them happy and entertained at the same time. Mm-hmm. You're trying to look at a map and see where you're going. So you might want to consider a guided tour, or at least kind of dividing it in half, some time where someone's taking you around and then some time to explore on your own. But I agree with Jen. There's some stuff for kids, specifically for kids, but I think kids love anything here. And, you know, I like that we can take our kids to the beach and they can have just as good a time, perhaps, as they might have had at an expensive theme park. So just enjoy what's out there and enjoy what's free. Well, we are running out of time, but let's get to one more question from William in Illinois. He writes on Facebook, "My wife and I love your show. We are planning a trip to Hawaii for our spring break at the end of March. We'll be flying into Maui for 4 days and then Oahu for 2. Do you have any suggestions or must-do see or experience items for Hawaii? We already listened to your Hawaiian food, Hawaiian music, and Big Island podcasts and are longtime fans from the transmission as well. Any help would be appreciated." So a similar question, what have you got for William?
Well, I haven't been to Maui in a very long time, but I know that the Ocean Center is a really good place. It's like an aquarium. It's a good family spot. The Iao Needle. Maui offers a lot of outdoor adventure type things,
right,
like snorkeling, parasailing. There's the Road to Hana. The Road to Hana is scary and fun. It's a twisty road along a mountain ridge, and it's a lot of fun to do. It'll probably take you about half a day, and you can stop, and there are really great places to take pictures along the way. If you're only spending 2 days on Oahu, I would definitely say spend one of them making a Circle Island drive if possible, and stop at local food joints. There are great these trucks on the North Shore, the shrimp trucks.
Right.
Those are world famous. I would stop there or get some sushi. Eat something that you can't get at home, and certainly watch a sunset.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. You know, I agree. I wish I knew Maui better. That's where William's going to be spending most of his time. Yes, there's just a lot of outdoors activities, a lot of nature that you should really take advantage of. I think my advice for that or for any trip to Hawaii would be, most importantly, to slow down, you know, slow way down. Don't think that we can do this and this before lunch and then this and this and then we'll be here by dinner. I mean, that's just a recipe for frustration, especially with traffic being what it is on more and more of the islands. Just try to experience everything. And when you hit something that moves slow, if you hit something that slows you down, just go with it and experience it. Well, on Maui, catching the sunrise atop Haleakala, that would be
right
on my short list. But you have to be a morning person to do that, to get up there in time. Yes, the Road to Hana, Iao Needle. But yeah, the natural stuff. Go hiking, take a scuba diving lesson or a surfing lesson. Oahu is a little tougher, I think, to get in 2 days. Obviously, you can go with what we said for Frank and Barry. I will say that with those 2 days, what you can do is spend 1 day hitting the things that you're supposed to do, you know, the short list, or taking a guided tour, being driven around. And then the other day to kind of go where the whim strikes. And I think you might find that that whim might say, stay at the hotel and stay in your room, or just walk around or go on the beach and stare nearby. You don't necessarily have to have an adventure every single day. But key will have to be, and I think this is true on any island, but definitely on Oahu, where you're staying. Because, you know, you might be in a Waikiki hotel, but there are vacation homes on the North Shore, there are bed and breakfasts in Kailua, and that will determine what's nearby and what's walkable. And I guess just as a last bit of advice, we've stopped staying in hotels. We like vacation homes.
Right.
And that's a different way to live if you're okay with it. But there are a lot of rules and laws about vacation homes, and on certain islands, they're illegal to operate in certain neighborhoods. I'm not saying you're going to get in trouble, but you might book a place that suddenly vanishes off the radar all of a sudden. So there are some reasons why you might want to go through a hotel, but do not, you know, rule out just renting someone's private home. Well, that is the start of our Hawaii conversation here, our Q&A show, Hawaii 101. And we did have other questions that we're going to have to get to in a future show. Megan wanted to know about housing costs and what it would take to move here. Certainly a frequently asked question. Cheryl wants to know about Native Hawaiians and attitudes toward Caucasians. Holly's like my beautiful wife here. Certainly a fair question. And David in Texas wanted to hear about specific neighborhoods actually living in Hawaii and where we would choose to live if we could live anywhere in the islands. There's probably a very short answer to that question. We've done a show about it, but let's save that for our next Hawaii show. We'll call it Hawaii 102. And that means there's going to be more time for you to send in any other questions about the islands that you might have, or in fact, disagreements or additional advice that you might have. We absolutely want to hear from you.
So send us your Hawaii questions or any other kind of questions, because your feedback is what keeps us going, and we really want to make it as easy as possible for you to reach us.
Absolutely. You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, and you can also leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting and on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
Come back tomorrow for Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday. We'll be joined by another lost podcaster. Right now, we want to say thanks to Dan Pashman of the Sporkful Podcast for making our theme song. And of course, we want to say thanks to you for listening to our show.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Mahalo and aloha.